Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
How about
the truth is, their five wins are over teams with a combined record of 14-28. None of them have a winning record. And the only winning teams they've played, well, the Packers aren't even a winning team anymore, but they lost to the Patriots, obviously the Dolphins and the Packers. Now, you can spin that two ways. They could have probably won all three of those games. They were in them. They played with those teams. So I don't agree that the Bears aren't worthy of their record or respect of being at 5-3 and first in the division right now, but I do think it's fair to say that there's still an open question. And again, these five division games in the next eight, and especially the next three, are going to tell us a lot more about it.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. We will talk a lot of football today. We're in the middle of November. We should be doing that. Matt Miller at 10. Ian Rappaport, 10:40. The midday midway at 11. Hub Arkish belongs to you today. He will take your calls on the Bears and the NFL at noon. Surprises along the way as well. Also expecting to have a conversation with Sahadev Sharma, the Cubs beat guy from The Athletic, at some point, checking in. And the Cubs thing merits some attention here.
We need a Dakota ring to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, some Kremlinology has to go on right now. 312-644-6767. That's our number at WSCR, The Score. You email us at BernsteinandMcKnight@670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We're streaming at 670thescore.com. You can text. You can sext to 67011. When you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1McKnight. I'm at Dan_Bernstein. Download the Radio .com app.
Oh, yes, download it.
Stream the Score. Your mobile device will be happy when you're streaming the Score. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page and involving yourself in whatever kind of conversation that is.
Or just watch the Shep video 7 or 8 times.
You know what? He wasn't embarrassed enough.
Well, the guy's dropped like 30. He looks great.
Yeah, it's just...
That's also pretty close to his normal attire.
It's just he was enjoying it too much.
I lived with the guy for 6 months. That was kind of how he walked around the house.
He was so casual about it that I guess when
you're giving double finger guns to everybody down the block, yeah, you're kind of feeling yourself a little bit.
Right, hey, should I get on the bus? Hey, how's it going? Like, it was...
Oh, I'm so embarrassed about this wonderful new body I've got.
Yeah, the point was to embarrass him, and he
didn't
just... It wasn't that much fun because the whole point was to make him.
Yeah. I'm glad it was cold, though. I'm glad it was cold. And hopefully those pictures persist forever. They live on.
So he handled it with aplomb.
He really did.
Yeah,
I salute his aplomb.
We have Facebook Live and watch670thescore.com.
Yeah, that's right. Hello. Hi.
The cameras that show us. So that one's pointing at somebody who's not here. I don't know what that one's doing. Maybe Gertz isn't here yet because you never know.
Probably not.
Or that one's just kind of gone rogue.
It's a lazy camera.
Or Skynet. It's become self-aware and it's just watching.
It's turned itself away from
you. It doesn't want to watch me anymore.
This is what I've been tasked to do. No.
Yeah. No, I finally have broken free.
Awful. Why am I here?
I am unfettered and can stare at what I want. The camera that is going to look over at the person who isn't there. That's fine. We have producers. They're Jay Zawoski.
A little pick and roll. Oh! He caught a body and it was Embiid at the other end.
Are you kidding me? Two-man game. One of the most feared defenders in the league. And Sabonis says, you want me, Joel Embiid? Come get it, because I'm going to give it to you. Are you kidding me?
Oh, Embiid doesn't want any of that smoke.
We're getting to the point of the season where everybody's like really into it now. Yeah. You know, even the broadcasters, they've knocked off a bunch of rust. We're seeing jams thrown down. I mean, this is...
Well, we had the C.J. McCollum crossover, too, that was pretty sweet.
We're very close to full arousal level, is what I'm saying.
There's a lot going on.
It's getting there.
And then you have Jabari.
Just kind of show.
On the board is Rick Camp.
Louie in the Bronx. What's up, Louie?
Mike, what's your opinion of the Ian Book as a quarterback for Notre Dame?
He's all right. I mean, he's playing okay on the college level. I mean, he's a college quarterback right now. I mean, that's what he looks like to me. He's playing okay. I mean, they've done an okay job. I mean, they got a good offense. You know, they can move the ball. Notre Dame's always had a good offense. The question was, were they good enough defensively? They've always had a good offense.
He's never seen him play. He has no
never
idea.
Seen
who
Notre
he is.
Dame play. Yeah. They've always had a good offense.
No, he has no idea who that is.
Who could forget Tommy Rees for lighting up the college football ranks back in the day?
They've got like through 9 quarterbacks in 4
That's
years.
Notre Dame quarterback coach Tommy Rees to you.
Wow, I mean, that's
Brian Kelly known for recruiting on the offensive side. Everybody knows that.
He has absolutely no idea who that is. So,
Ian Book, yeah, that's a name I've heard. That's a person.
He said he's a college quarterback right now.
His first name
Correct.
Is Ian.
Right.
His last name seems to be Book.
They're asking him about
what's
I
that?
Believe it's
$5 million per for that. Wow, money well spent.
It's only $8.99 a month for the app, right?
Right.
Where you get
how about that
cutting
station,
insight?
By the way. How about you got the former morning co-host convicted on all counts of fraud and wire fraud and facing up to 45 years behind bars.
Never convicted.
Up to 45 years.
45?
Up to 45 years in jail for the former morning co-host. And then you've got a midday host and a morning host who apparently were coming to blows outside the building. And Francesa's mad at the guy for doing the impersonation of him.
Which everyone around the country does because it's, quite frankly,
easy.
Kinda easy.
It's easy, and everybody loves it. He sits in the back. He does what he does. He's the executioner. He is Ray Diaz.
I know the Bulls front office takes a beating, but I'll tell you what, man. Back-to-back drafts, they picked up 2 very good ball players in Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Davis, and you throw in Chandler Hutchison in that as well.
Wow, they drafted former Bear wide receiver Wendell Davis.
Post player? Kind of a big body.
Not really.
Uses the fouls. No. Fast guy, small, point guard.
And will always be remembered specifically for what? The wide receiver out of LSU. There's a very, it's something Davis. That I knew it when I saw it.
When? I got nothing for you.
Okay.
I got nothing for you.
Veteran Stadium. He blew out both patella tendons on the same play.
That dude.
He came to like a jump stop and both of his patella tendons just did like the rolling up window shade.
Oh no. No,
peeled up.
That's like a Tom and Jerry. Oh my
yes.
God.
It was like a cartoon injury.
I didn't
injury.
Know your patella tendons could do that.
Apparently his were both ready to go at the same time and they did.
Oh.
Think about it.
I can't do anything but think about it right now.
Picked up 2 very good ball players in Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Davis.
No, Stacy putting it out there last night too. I caught almost all of that broadcast. I had to go inside and pick
the
up
the play-by-play guy was horrible.
It was a little stunted. Sure,
terrible.
Stacy let people have it though. I mean, in some places he's sticking up for people, in some places he's going after people, in some places he's letting his team know that Fred's coming after you. Stacy's did a thing last night,
and he's right about those 2 draft picks. Wendell Carter Jr. at 19, the more I see, the more I like, and
it was really hard.
He's good.
It was really hard to hear him and everybody else who had evaluated that draft go, well, sure, he took a smaller role at Duke because Bagley reclassified, and so he just, you know, he laid off a little bit. But in the minutes he was there, and Bagley's off the floor, you could really see him. You know, that excuse-making felt like excuse make as opposed to actual scouting, and it was scouting.
He's good.
I mean, pretty clearly that was scouting.
He's good, and you have to remind yourself that he's 19. Now, we lived through this. At least I did up close with Tyson Chandler and Eddie Curry, and remembering what 18 and 19 looked like. This kid is so much more polished than either of those guys, and you know, Tyson Chandler ended up with a magnificent NBA career.
Yeah.
I think just now, he was recently waived, and I don't know if he's going to stick onto it.
He already signed and played with the Lakers.
Yeah,
I thought
I saw him on the Lakers.
Yeah, he played with them last night.
Hometown. It brings him back home. Nice place for him to finish up. Perfect spot for him to be a rim protector.
Well, like, and he knows what defense is.
He's aware. It's like we were talking about with Schanowski yesterday, with Carter. Just using his fouls, understanding where those are going to come, and that's kind of why I liked Fred doing what he did the other night, getting after a couple of referees about it.
He picked up a tech last night.
Last night, too. And that was, I mean, you reach a certain frustration level with Jabari Parker after it's not just
run.
Just run.
Just run.
Just run.
I know you're,
a little
not,
bit
you're not a great defender.
Maybe turn your head
get,
a little
get
bit
in shape
in
and
transition.
Run the floor.
I don't know if you've, this Davis fellow can throw it down, so you may want to locate him in transition and just point, I guess, just point and yell if you're not going to do the rest of the defensive work.
This segment's brought to you by Spot Hero. Finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. I find it fascinating that the Cubs are in absolute chaos at the moment, and Theo is just keeping this placid Theo demeanor when Theo was the guy who, when we last heard from him, was pissed off and wanted urgency and wanted things to change. And now it's like, well, you know, I can't comment on that now, and we're doing with the best interest. Theo, you fired your hitting coach again. It looks like you're going to fire your pitching coach or sever ties with your pitching coach, however you want
to
phrase it.
Allow him to leave
again.
For a better opportunity.
You've got changes all over your coaching staff. And if you get rid of this guy, it's just another little hint at the manager that you are not going to negotiate an extension with. And everyone's like, oh, okay, yeah, I can't talk about that right now. There's serious stuff going on.
Yeah, it's interesting to, you know, put that Theo of a couple of weeks ago up against this Theo and the 71-minute press conference, the urgency, the demand that, you know, two out of three isn't good enough, that sometimes you've got to win that third in a series. It's a franchise that was looking for one more win. When it's all said and done, in a 95-win season, they needed 96. So right off the jump, you're understanding that changes on the margins might get you that one win, but they've done anything but change the margin. They're changing coaching staff. They're changing message. They're poised, perhaps, to not be able to move in big ways financially this offseason, whether it's Harper or Machado or just making a bunch of middle tier ads that could add a bunch of salary to it. It's kind of crazy to watch and listen to the gas pedal getting let go here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's not a place, you know, I was thinking about this earlier. In Boston, as time ran out on Theo there with the Red Sox, he had issues from within.
Different forces at work with Larry Lucchino.
Yeah. To say nothing of the issues at hand with the team. I mean, you had beer and fried chicken going on, right? You had...
Well, he had also, remember the whole gorilla suit thing with Theo, right? Remember he had also like quit and then came back?
He came back into the stadium in a gorilla suit?
Yeah, you remember the story? Or he quit his job in a vaguely fit of pique, and then he decided he unquit. You know, look up that story.
Gorilla suit Theo.
Yeah, things got weird.
It's like an alternate Theo on a video game. It's just like you have to unlock that.
Or it's like Raccoon Mario.
You gotten the video game suit Theo yet? No, not yet.
Or it's like the Venom symbiote, perhaps. But yeah, there was things got really strange.
That was 05
internally, and he like walked out and he disguised himself. It's like Clarence Beeks in Trading Places. You don't want it to end like it did for old Clarence.
You do not.
Some bad explorations occurring. A little spelunking going on.
It's strange. It's strange to watch happen. It's even stranger to have a dynamic this offseason that could just go away. I mean, there is every possibility that an offseason spent not doing anything, with the exception of changing over your entire coaching staff,
again,
I mean on the 25-man roster,
yeah,
without changing really anything, can be your best outcome for an offseason. I mean, you threw $200 million essentially away in terms of 2018 performance, and you may get those guys back. You may have them perform, and it may turn out to be another 95-win season. It's not as though this is where you have to look at the process by which they assembled this team and go, well, that was a pretty good process because of what they've kind of inoculated themselves against.
Yeah, the 224 says it was Theo's contract expiring. It was Halloween, and he left in a gorilla suit, and they re-signed him a few days later. So he knows about getting to the end of a contract with his own personal experience.
A number of times.
Yeah, we're going to hear Theo in his own words after an update.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's out there now. Hickey's not coming back. It's been thrown out there on the airwaves, and it's all over Chicago media. It's buzzed head. Is he back?
Yeah, that's not a subject that I'm able to address at this point. So as soon as I am, I'll talk to you guys about it.
Well, he's not saying the reports are wrong. It was far less than a full-throated endorsement of the return of Jim Hickey as Cubs pitching coach.
Isn't it? It's worth remembering for just a brief moment that up until Pedro Strop pinch hit, and then subsequently ripped the hamstring up, this was Joe Maddon's best managerial work. I can say that?
Yeah, maybe up to the point of overusing Brandon Morrow, if you want to listen to what Maddon's bosses have pointed out.
I think you could even say that despite those two things, which were bad mistakes, I think you could still say this is one of Joe's best years of managing. Because of everything you had to deal with, you had a pitching rotation, you had a starting rotation through the first half of the season that was hot garbage. And navigating that while still getting a relief corps to perform the way it did, using them the way you did, was pretty impressive. Despite all of that, a fine managerial job, a good use of your assets, that wasn't enough. And the Cubs demanded that they needed to improve on the margins the day after the season was over. In a 71-minute press conference with, you know, vim and vigor, right? Is it vim and vigor? Is it vit and vigor or vim and vigor?
Vim.
Vim?
Vim and vigor.
Now, what is vim?
Vim is the same. It's energy.
Okay. Well, he had both of those things. And he's asking for more out of his team. It's strange to me that you've got a coaching staff that just hasn't aligned itself right with the players you've got.
There's also a report we should mention that USA Today's Bob Nightingale says Bryce Harper will eventually sign with the Phillies. You can bank on it. That's what he has tweeted. He says you can bank on it.
Is that a report?
It's hard to tell because the actual body copy of the story is almost using some sort of deduction and process of elimination to get back to the Phillies as being the only likely landing spot, but it seems short of him actually reporting it, yet he tweets it with an eventuality and saying you can bank on it. So I don't know what to do with it.
But what did Scott Boras say about it? It's a submarine race, not a regatta. He said that there was Harper's Bazaar has begun. That man loves himself. Scott Boras, when he gets down to the GM meetings.
I'd hire him.
He is the... Oh, absolutely. I'm not saying he's bad at his job at all. But he loves going down there and doing a state of the state address. That's just, God, that's one of his favorite things.
312-644-6767 is our phone number. This is Jim in Kenosha.
Hey, boys. How are you?
Okay.
Well.
Good. Hey, listen, I got a question. Talking about Cubs coaching situations, they get rid of their Chili Davis, and they allow the assistant hitting coach to get away to Milwaukee. Now, is that a good thing for the Brewers? Because, I mean,
it's a hitting coach. I don't know. You know how it is with hitting coaches.
Yeah.
Some guys need him. Some guys don't. Some guys get better. Some guys get worse.
Okay. So, I mean, I didn't even know assistant hitting coach position existed until I heard about this.
Yeah, I think more and more teams are going to an assistant hitting coach, kind of multiple voices to work with multiple players who have multiple swings. I think it's a pretty good idea.
Okay. All right. I was just curious about why the Cubs let him get away. You know, when they fired Chili, they didn't promote this guy. So, I don't know.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Jim. I'm not sure either. They thought they had a better opportunity in Anthony Iaposi.
He's an assistant hitting coach. He's with the Brewers now.
He's the college quarterback.
Andy Haynes. Oh, yeah. Hitting coach, long time. We don't know anything about
Andy
Haynes.
He was an assistant hitting coach. Now he's a hitting coach. And pretty good. Looks like he's a major league assistant.
Hey, so what do you want? He's going to make Christian Yelich better?
Yeah, I don't like. Right, he's already MVP.
He's going to win an MVP. Like Lorenzo Cain is not going to suddenly be 32.
He's going to maybe Jesus Aguilar will discover some pop.
Yeah, fix that. Right? Strike out so much less than he did last season. It's a hitting coach matters in so much as your players have to be confident in the messages they're receiving. And that didn't happen for the Cubs. And I guess Andy Haynes was allowed to go to the Brewers to go preach his message there.
And the reason why we're talking about it to this extent with the Cubs is not because of the necessarily because of the actual job that any of these guys are doing. It's what all of this symbolizes. It's what everything it's the extra meaning in the fact that they're purging their coaching staff again. I kept harping on it last year. I'd say, look, this is a big deal when you bring in all new people after a World Series, and after the next year you bring in everybody, and they're doing it again. And they're saying that their veteran manager is on a prove-it year.
I guess for a lot of Cubs fans, it's likely difficult. And let me know if you disagree, but I think it's likely difficult to see an organization get to where Theo said they'd get it to, this consistent 95 wins, NLCS championship appearances, a World Series title, playoffs over and over and over again, and yet there's turmoil. You know, this isn't the 90s Braves, where everybody came back year after year on a coaching staff, where it was Bobby Cox and then his way or the highway. It's not that. And it's, you know, the times have changed. The era has turned around. Managers are valued less and less. And yet the Cubs, I mean, from a monetary standpoint, and yet the Cubs have the highest paid manager in the game, or one of three that are all paid the same amount. You have this organization at a point where it can sustain itself, even though it's not perfect. But the coaching staff is anything but perfect.
We also have the idea of the young players being treated like customers. That I sense this too, and I sense times have changed where the catering to younger players, and I know people are going to cry about, oh, they should deal with whatever coaches tell them to do. It's not the way it works. And when you're talking about guys who have a voice in their head, whether it's pitchers or hitters, the pitchers are a little bit older than some of the guys, the material position players that were complaining about Chili Davis.
Yeah.
But I'm hearing that a front office, as all of this is happening, whether it's the stuff we heard from Jed yesterday regarding Joe and communication about it's great to be versatile. It's awesome to be able to put in different lineups and play guys in different positions, but communicate it better. Tell guys more about the why. Tell them why they're sitting. Tell them why they're batting ninth. Tell them why they're moving around and when. That is catering to treating their young players as the customer, making sure they are comfortable, making sure they are happy, making sure they are best served in the right environment to do the best jobs they can do.
You pair that with a franchise that's apparently unwilling to spend a whole lot of money to fix the roster, and you realize the importance on improving from within, on your own internal development. It was already important when you were going to spend money, and if you're not, it becomes even more important.
312-644-6767. Talking a little baseball ahead of Matt Miller and his 10 o'clock appearance. We'll break down what's going on at Notre Dame and elsewhere, see if his big board is moving around, and check in with some of his NFL thoughts as well. So that's all coming up. Ian Rappaport at 1040 also with inside information on the Bears and the NFL. You've got the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
In recent years, we've very quietly made runs at some of our players in terms of to get a long-term extension done, and we haven't been able to. And that doesn't mean we won't, but it's proven more difficult than we expected in some cases. So we'll... If appropriate, going forward, we'll take another run at it. But I think it can also sometimes be a distraction. And right now, we're so focused on getting a lot of players right on the field.
Getting a lot of players right on the field. That's the communication piece to this.
It is. As much as, and a lot of texters have kind of pointed out, like, why are the Cubs in such a state of disarray when it comes to their coaching staff? Why is it that they can't work out what they want to do with Joe Maddon, whether that's extend him or let him walk or live with him in the last season of his contract? There's a denial with the report out that the Jim Hickey's either gone or not gone as the Cubs pitching coach, and of course there's a new hitting coach for another season. Shouldn't it be fair to wonder that whether coaches matter to Theo and Jed. Shouldn't it be fair to wonder that, or whether that's the margin they think needs improvement? I mean, if they've set this thing up so as to win as many times, as many games as they have, to get as close as they have, if they've put themselves in a situation where the roster is good enough to keep on winning.
That's a good question.
Like, changing some of the furniture around, just it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. As long as you lock something in by the time spring training starts, leave it there for the season.
Baseball coaching is not like football coaching.
You're going to make it work out eventually.
It's an individual game. It masquerades as a team game. All these things we say that you're not really doing as much.
It's fair to wonder that, you know, look at the guys, look at the other guys that could all have feature stories written about them, whether it's Mike Borzello, whether it was Andy Haynes who left for Milwaukee, whether it was Eric Hinsky while he was here, whether it's, I always forget the name of the run prevention coordinator.
Right.
Why am I spacing on his name?
Tommy Hotovy.
Hotovy. That's spacing on Hotovy. All those guys could have their influence on specific players featured in Vine Line or anywhere else. And what they've done, and maybe every team does this now, but what they've done is obviously surround as many players as they can with as many good voices as they can.
Yeah, I keep getting back to the customer service angle here. That I think what it really says is them going to the players themselves, saying, what do you need?
Yeah, what do you need?
What do you want to hear? What's going to make you better? What's going to give you the best chance to succeed? What do you want to hear, and how do you want to hear it?
Yeah, and at some point, I think that conversation does have to change tone, if not message. At some point, and whether that was the 71 minutes that Theo spent talking to the press after the season was over, at some point, players need to be looked at and said, this is what you've got. This is how we fixed everything for you. What do you got? You know, whether that's a message to Kyle Schwarber, whether that's a message to, and I'm not saying it's this get better or else. It's not an ultimatum necessarily, though this industry is one. You know, and if you don't perform, you will not have a roster spot eventually. But, you know, at some point, you got to stop saying we can change everything around you, that it's not your fault. At some point, production matters over talent, really. You know, and Theo said as much.
Jerry is in Moline. He's on the score. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. I wanted to say something about, Walt Alston. Walt Alston went 23 years on a one-year contract. Wasn't extended every year.
Yeah, but that was 100 years ago.
That's beside the point. I don't know why you guys, they hire coaches, they fire coaches. They ought to go year to year. It's very simple. If they do a good job, then you give them a little stipend or whatever. But I mean,
no, it's a negotiation between two parties. The business is very different.
I understand it's a negotiation.
I'm not sure what your larger point is. Do you actually believe that all coaches in sports should be on 1 year contracts because Walter Alston was?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's
not
ridiculous.
Only, not just because Walt Alston was. But because that's the way it used to be.
Okay, but Jerry, why?
Performance counts. It's just like players.
Jerry, it's a free market in which people can negotiate contracts.
I understand.
I'm not sure the mechanism by which you would and why you that would necessarily make anything better. I mean,
we haven't gotten better in the last 3 years.
Who's
We've
we?
Been real the Cubs.
Oh,
they've been consistent for the last 4 years.
All right. So are you making a point about the Cubs, or are you making a point in general about coaching contracts?
I've a little bit of coaching and a little bit of Cubs.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out what you're saying. Joe Madden is coming back on the final year of his contract.
Yes, I know that, and that's fine. Nobody's complained about that, but I don't know why they're so worried about an extension.
Who's worried? When you say worried.
Well, you guys are.
No, Jerry, what we've been talking about is the fact that the Cubs front office can't say or not say whether their pitching coach is coming back. And in today's baseball, that's a pretty weird place to be in.
Yeah, it's rare for a team.
Of the 29 other teams, none of them are doing this.
It's extremely rare for a World Series contender in consecutive seasons to purge its entire coaching staff.
I understand that.
Well, that's what we're discussing.
Well, you know, it's just weird, that's all.
agree. That's kind of what we're saying. Thanks for the call.
I felt like our conversation with Wilson Contreras at the end there.
Yes,
well, okay.
All right.
Anything after that? There's more. All right, I can feel that there's more. I know there's more coming. I'll wait here. I'll just sit here. I'll wait.
Right. I don't have a problem with Joe Maddon coming. The only time lame duck, and again, lame duck usually means your successor.
It's a stand-in in sports.
Yeah, your successor has already been chosen. You're just finishing out your term. Like Bruce Rauner right now is a lame duck.
Right. Although it could be argued that in sports, you know, you always have the list of who's next.
Correct.
So theoretically.
The only time I will buy the fact that a coach says, look, I can't do my job without an extension has to do with college recruiting. It generally has to do with the significance of the personality and identity of a coach over a college program. And when you commit to a kid in a living room and you're asking that kid and the family to commit to you, if they can reasonably say, well, you're in the last year of your deal. So
they look at you and say, right. You're DJ Durkin. Get out of my house.
Right. Please leave my house immediately.
Don't be here.
Or maybe they can ask real questions about, am I committing to you and what is my commitment worth? I get that. But the point is, even with an extension to some of these buyouts and the opt-outs and the abilities for coaches to go anywhere, even that is a flimsy guarantee.
Teams just don't get the luxury of pretending the business hasn't changed since 1976 when old Walt hung up the cleats with the Dodgers. I mean, it has changed. It is different now. So to operate the way everyone does, it's important.
847 says, Connie Mack coached forever on a day-to-day contract, and that's the way it should be.
He had to bring the bats for everyone, yep, and if he didn't...
Each day he had to prove himself, and he'd wake up the next day and he'd sign a new contract because he'd worked so hard to earn it. Next up, Matt Miller, football thoughts. He's always good. Keep it here. Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.